Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and, let's do 1 Timothy. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Matthew 5 and 1 Timothy 2. Matthew 5, 1 Timothy 2. Keep your Bibles out this morning. We'll run a few references this morning and try to give you something that'll maybe try to provoke you this morning to get you a little bit closer to the Lord. Not showing with a show of hands, but how many of you prayed this morning? Amen. How many of you prayed yesterday morning without a show of hands? How many of you prayed last night? And how many of you prayed the night before last? And how many of you prayed at noon yesterday or at noon the day before that? Or how many of you prayed last week? How many of you prayed? Better yet, how many times did you pray last week? If the Lord Jesus Christ was to come in here and call you right on the carpet and say, how many times did you pray last week? How many of you could say, well, Lord, I prayed this time and 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 this time because that's when I always pray. And I have a set time when I pray. And I talk to you and you remember when I talk to you. Sadly, for most of us, and myself too, sadly, we can't sit here and say, Lord, I prayed at this time and this time and this time because that's when I always pray. And I mean, I'm very disciplined with my prayer life, Lord. And I sat down and I talked to you here and you know that I was there. You know, sadly, that's how our lives go. I'm always jealous of Daniel whenever Daniel talks about praying. He talks about praying in the morning and at noon and at night and all this kind of stuff. And David talks about, he says, you know, the morning, Lord, you're going to hear my voice, and then I'm going to pray at noonday, and I'm going to pray at night. And David and Daniel were like, I mean, they were prayer warrior type people. I mean, they were people that you know, they knew who God was, and I'm jealous of them. And you know, I always say, well, Lord, I mean, you know, how come I can't have that? And God says, you can have that. You just don't have it. First Timothy. I said 1 Timothy and Matthew 5. Did I? Is that it? Matthew 5. Pretty sure I told you Matthew 5. All right. Matthew chapter 5. Look in Matthew chapter 5. Let's see. Actually, no. Turn over to 1 Timothy. We'll start in 1 Timothy 2. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time you've given us to meet with you this morning. I pray you bless this time. Open up your scriptures to us. Thank you for the men and the women and the boys and the girls that have died throughout the ages to keep this book alive and to keep it going for us. And thank you for giving us something pure and perfect that we can look at this morning to guide our lives and to teach us the things that we need to know. I pray, Father, you might bless this morning. And Lord, be with every other teacher and preacher that's around this country, around this world, that's preaching the truth this morning. And I pray you give them strength. Help them be with Pastor while he's preaching right now. Give him the grace and the wisdom and the understanding that he needs. And I pray, Father, that you give us some inspiration this morning and some understanding of your scriptures. Teach us what we need to know. And I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would bear witness with the truth and just use this time for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Timothy 2:1, Paul says, I exhort therefore that first of all, so first things first, okay, there's an order for everything. Did you know there's an order for your prayer life? I mean, not just praying it morning, noon, and night, but there's an order for it. Prior to our house burning, I used to have this orange folder, and on the front of it, it said prayer list, and on the inside, I had several things that were written down. And I started out with this and this and this and this and this and this, and which was good because that helped me to keep an order. I'm very, very scatterbrained. If I don't have something, if I didn't have this morning, I'd be going, I have to have something written down to follow. So that helps you. That helps you to do that, but you need an order. Paul said, let all things be done decently and in order. Now, that has to do with having an order of things, but it also has to be done with order, like a judge would say, order in the court, right? So, he says in verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made. And he tags this on the end of it, which I don't particularly care for, but hey, it's there, we got to go for it. For all men. For all men. When Paul wrote this, who was in power? Rome was in power. And look at what he says in the next verse, verse 2. For kings and for all that are in authority, there's your leaders and your rulers in Rome, who were trying to have Paul killed, by the way. He says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And then he goes on through there. So he says in verse 1, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now turn to Matthew 5 where I had you turn first. He says be made for all men. Man, that's hard. That's a hard thing to do sometimes. Have you ever found anybody in your life that you didn't like? Amen. Usually, pretty much on a daily basis for me. Sam, that doesn't include you, brother. But, I mean, there's several people throughout my life that I've ran into, and I just honestly just particularly don't care for them. I had a guy, this was 150% my own fault. We were in DeMott the other day, and that little road right there where Fieldhouse Ford's at, okay, and it's got the one that goes this way and then this way and then this way. Well, I was sitting on this road. Well, I have no patience. I'm in a hurry, and there's tons of traffic coming from the north, coming down south, and I thought, I'm going to catch one turning left, and I don't care who's behind him. I'm going to bolt out of here. So I did it. Stupid me. Well, the guy that was behind that one that was turning was in a hurry as well. So as soon as this guy turned, he snuck out behind and four-barreled. So I'm pulling out, and I pulled out in front of the guy. Guy comes by, just flipping me a bird. Boy, I mean, just, and that is one guy that I did not want to pray for. That is one guy that, even though I was in the wrong, I can't stand that when somebody does that. Made me mad. Look in Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Some of the things that the Lord Jesus preaches about and tells you to do are hard to stomach. Matthew 5:43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And here it is. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's exactly what Paul was teaching you in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Pray for them which are trying to hurt you, right? They are despitefully using you and persecuting you. So prayer. Pray for those people. Now, in our, what's the word I'm looking for here? Prayer is a general term, okay? If I get up here and say, you need to pray, then that's just a general thing. You need to spend time with the Lord on a daily basis, sometimes on an hourly basis. Honestly, sometimes on an hourly basis. It just, depends on what's going on throughout your life. Sometimes you need to spend time with God on an hourly basis, not just a daily basis, okay? But that's just kind of a general term. Whenever he gets in here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul goes further than just the general term of, hey, pray without ceasing. He goes in here and says there's certain types of prayers you need to be offering to the Lord. There's certain things you need to be praying for, and there's certain ways to pray. Now, you can pray standing up. You can pray down on your knees. You can pray while you're walking through Walmart. God knows we need to pray while you're walking through Walmart. You can pray while you're sitting in your car driving. Just don't close your eyes. You can pray while you're on the job site. You can pray doing whatever you do, okay? But there's certain types and certain ways of praying, and that's what Paul deals with. He says, first of all, the first one that he mentions is supplications. He says, supplication. Somebody tell me what a supplication is. Anybody ever thought about that? What's a supplication? Yes, sir. Yeah. Right. Amen. That's right. I heard a guy say supplication means like a prayer for God to supply something. Supply, supplication, that type of a thing there, which is good. So I thought I'm gonna go through here and look at what God says about it throughout Scripture. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 8, and we'll use the law of first mention this morning. You guys know what the law of first mention is. First time it's mentioned throughout the Bible will generally set the precedence of how it's going to be used throughout the rest of Scripture. So 1 Kings chapter 8, the first time that the word supplication shows up is in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 28. Context here is they've just got done building the temple, so Solomon's going to pray, and he prays a prayer of dedication to the Lord for this temple. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 22, says, "And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who has kept with thy servant David my father that thou promisest him. Thou spakest also with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that thou promisest him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have builded. Verse 28, he says, yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant, and to his supplication. What's Solomon doing right here? I know that he's praying, but what's he doing? What's he praying for? He's praying for God to get involved in what just happened. He's praying for God. He's begging the Lord, please get involved in this temple that we just built. We need you to be in charge of this. We need you to meet with us. We need you to be where the mercy seat's at. We need you to meet with us every time we come here, so that we can live for you and so that you'll hear us when we offer our sacrifices to you. He's asking God to get involved with what he's doing. Turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 13. Supplications are more than just a general prayer. Supplications are like Brother Richards said, or Richardson or Richards? Richardson, all right. Brother, that's the second time I've had to ask you all that. Hey. Richardson, okay. Just like Brother Richardson said, it's begging the Lord to get involved in whatever's going on in your life or whatever's going on with what's happening to you at that moment. 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse number 11. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse number 11. Background here, Saul messes up and he gets involved in the priest office when he shouldn't have, and he offers up a sacrifice to the Lord whenever he should have waited for Samuel to come. He didn't wait on God. He said, I'm going to do it myself. Verse number 11, and Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash or Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. Now, whether he was right or not in what he did, he knew, I've got to get God involved in what's going on, because the Philistines are coming to kill me and to kill my whole army. So he says, I need for God to get involved. So he says, I had to go make supplication to the Lord. So he went into the temple, and what does he do? He offers up a sacrifice when he shouldn't have done that, because he's not a priest. He's not from the tribe of Levi. He shouldn't have done it. That's Samuel's job. So he intruded the priest office and did something that he shouldn't have done. So Saul's got the Philistines coming up against him. And he knows that he's got to get a prayer answered, so he goes in. First Kings, we already covered that one. Throughout 1 Kings chapter 8, it goes through several times there and mentions it. Turn to Esther. I love the book of Esther. Esther chapter 4. Background for Esther here. Esther chapter 4. Mordecai comes to her and says, "Hey, look, Haman's just put out an order here, and it's bad for us. And our people, the Jews, we need to be saved here. You're going to have to do something for us. This is a dire emergency." And he says in verse number 14, the last part of verse number 14, "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Mordecai says, "Hey, Esther, listen. Maybe God put you here in this position where you're at so that you could save our people and get us out of this mess." Okay? Esther chapter 4, verse number 8. Esther 4, verse number 8 says, "Also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people." So Esther goes into the king and says, "Please, king." Supplication. She's begging the king because something has come into her life and Mordecai's life and her people's life. This could be damaging to us. This could kill us. This could hurt us. And if you don't do something, king, we're all going to die. You've got to help us. So the supplication is made. It's an earnest begging to be delivered. Okay? How many of you have ever been in an earnest before? Anybody know what that means when I say an earnest? Down south, you know, that's what all the Southerners say. "Well, bless God, preacher, I was in earnest. I had to go, man. Gotta go." Earnest. That means you're in dire straits. That means if something doesn't happen within the next 5 seconds, it's all just going to go to hell in a handcart, they say. It's just going to blow up. I mean, going to look like an atom bomb came through here and just destroyed everything. I've been in spots like that, and you have too, where you know, "God, if you don't deliver me, if you don't help me, then I'm not going to make it. Spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, or any other lee you want to put on the end of it. You know, God, if you don't intervene, if you don't get involved, I'm not going to make it." Anybody ever been there before? By a show of hands? Yeah. Been there many times. And you know what happens? You get in those times. See, God does something dirty, okay? Paul said that I may know him, right? And the fellowship of his sufferings. You know those sufferings are designed for you. Whatever suffering you're going through, God has designed it. Whatever suffering you're going through, God has designed it for you. The suffering that Brother Richardson goes through is not made for Brother Rick, see? Because it's not what he needs, it's what you need, see? And each suffering, each trouble, each problem that comes up is designed specifically for each child of God, okay? And it's through those sufferings that you become close to the Lord because you are drawn to your knees. You're drawn to a place of supplication where you have nobody else to turn to but God. And so you turn to God and He's the one that answers your prayer. He's the one that talks to you. He's the one that listens to you. And He's the one that provides that supply that you need. But it's in a matter of supplication. It's earnestly begging the Lord for something. Esther was in grief whenever she went to the king. She said, "You have to do something here. You have to do something." Turn to Psalm. We'll look at what David says about it. Psalm 55. Different types of prayer. It's not always just, "Hey, brother, have you prayed today?" You know? Sometimes praying is as simple as saying, "Good morning, Lord. How you doing?" Right? And you don't always try to write down your prayers, you know, and say, "Okay, Heavenly Father, I thank Thee for this day and thank Thee for the food that Thou hast given me." And that's, no. Okay? Prayer is what makes the relationship between you and your father stick together. Communication between you and your father is what makes it stick together. You know, that's what makes a marriage work. Communication. I've had to learn that the hard way, and I'm still learning that, because I do not talk at all. I'm very, very quiet. Ask my wife, she's sitting there. Ask anybody that knows me. If there's a problem going on, I don't talk. I just shut off and I say, nope, I don't talk. I'm just gonna put my nose down and I'm just gonna get through it. And man, that don't help. Doesn't help one bit. Prayer is what makes the relationship between you and your Heavenly Father stick together. That's how you get to know your Father, is by talking to Him and letting Him talk to you. Amen? And then going through some sufferings and offering some supplications to Him. Okay? Psalm chapter 55. Psalm 55, verse number 1. David says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication." There's two different things he says there. Give ear to my prayer, number one, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication, number two. They're different, verse number two. "Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise." Now, whatever that noise was, I don't know. Maybe it was groaning. Maybe it was groaning in the spirit. I don't know. But David said, "I am in mourning right now." David's in grief, verse 3, "because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me." David seems like he's in a pretty rough spot there, doesn't he? So what's he doing? He's offering a supplication to the Lord. Psalm 119, down toward the end. Psalm 119, verse number 170. David says, Psalm 119, 170. David says, "Let my supplication come before thee." Now look at what he says. "Deliver me according to thy word." He needs deliverance. David's facing something that's going wrong, and he needs help. So he offers the supplication to the Lord. Turn to Jeremiah. Prophet Jeremiah. I'm not trying to give you any overkill this morning, but you need to understand that there are times when you have to get on your face before the Lord. And I mean prostrate sometimes. I mean flat on the floor, stretched out, and just offer a supplication to the Lord. You know, God's pleased with that. God's pleased with somebody. God's pleased with a big, strong man that'll get on his face before Him and humble himself and say, "There's no way I can do this. I'm in your hands. Thy will be done." Listen, that's what Jesus Christ did. Did he not? I don't think for a second. I'm trying not to go from teaching to preaching here, but I don't think for a second that when the Lord Jesus Christ was in the garden praying, I don't think for a second that he was standing up. I just honestly don't think it. I don't even think he was on his knees. I don't even think he was doing this. I don't think he was doing this, and I don't think he was doing this. I believe Jesus Christ, when he prayed, I believe he was prostrate. Think of the agony that he was getting ready to endure. Not just the cross, not just the pain, but the separation from his Father, when his Father turned his back on him. Think about the sin he was getting ready to have laid on him and what he was going to have to do for the next 3 days. Think about that. I honestly don't think for a second that Jesus Christ was standing there saying, "Now, Father, we need to talk." I believe he was prostrate. He was in an earnest. And I believe he made a supplication to the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 36. Jeremiah chapter 36. Jeremiah chapter 36. And let's see, verse number 6. Jeremiah 36, 6. This is a good chapter to use for the preservation of Scripture, by the way, if you want to read through there sometime. Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 6. "Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day." There's a day that was set aside for fasting, by the way. "And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return everyone from his evil way. You know what they're doing? They're living evil. And he says, you take the book and you tell them what's going on. And when they hear it, maybe they'll make supplication to the Lord because they realize, I have screwed up. And if I don't do something, if I don't get a hold of the Lord, he's going to strike me dead. Anybody ever feel like that? Yeah. So what does he do? He makes a supplication to the Lord. Let's just get a couple more here. Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, verse number 10. Daniel 6, verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks, two different things there, before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making what? Supplication before his God. Daniel knows that they just signed this order, decree, and they're getting ready to kill me because I'm praying to God and not the king. Okay? So Daniel goes into his room. There again, I don't think for a second that they went in and found Daniel standing up looking out the window facing Jerusalem saying, now, Father, you know what they're doing. I think they found him. Look, Daniel was strong. Daniel had a lot of faith. Daniel knew that his God was able to take care of him, but I still believe Daniel was still a man, and he probably got scared. And he probably said, Father, if you don't intervene, they're going to do something wrong here. And so Daniel got on his face. I believe Daniel got on his face. I believe he got down and he prayed. Now it says here, let's see, it says here that he was on his knees, doesn't it? He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So he made a supplication to the Lord. He was in trouble. He knew he was in trouble and he made the supplication. Move over to the New Testament, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Jesus has just gone away. And his disciples are left, and they're thinking, oh no, what are we going to do now? He's gone. We thought he was going to set up the kingdom. What's going to happen to us? Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, so on and so forth. Ephesians chapter 6. See what Paul says about it. Ephesians chapter 6. And then we'll get into back into 1 Timothy right quick. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18. Praying always with all prayer. Now this is after he goes through the Christian's armor, correct? Okay? Your knees are not protected and your shins are not protected because you're supposed to be down on your knees praying as a soldier, okay? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Philippians chapter 4, just a couple pages over. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Now he tacks something on with thanksgiving. So there's three different things, and we'll hit those in a minute. Let your request be made known unto God. So there's different things. There's different types of prayer. Now Paul, when he says this, he says, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication, which leads us up to the next one. Turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. So the supplication, and for those of you that have been saved for some time, or, hey, I don't know, maybe you haven't been saved very long, but you've been through some trouble. Sometimes the supplication and you praying with that type of a spirit is better, and it feeds you more and it helps you more than just saying, good morning, Father, how are you? Now, I got, you know, got this day coming up. Pray you keep me safe. I pray you keep me healthy. Pray you take care of my family. Take care of Pastor Hoffman. Take care of Miss Janet. Take care of our church, the school that's going on here. Take care of the kids. Those are just prayers. But brother and sister, when you get in an earnest spot and you've got to have something happen, that's when God feeds you. And that's when it gets real to you. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, number one, supplications. Number two, prayers. Prayers. You know what it is to pray? You know what it means to pray? Praying is just asking. It's just asking. Let me read something to you here. Isaac Newton. Everybody know who Isaac Newton is, okay? He says, I can take my telescope and look millions and millions of miles into space, but I can lay my telescope aside, go into my room and shut the door, get down on my knees in earnest prayer, and I see more of heaven and get closer to God than I can when assisted by all the telescopes and material agencies on earth. Amen. That's pretty good, ain't it? It's pretty good. How many of you know Adoniram Judson? Great, great missionary. Okay. He says, be resolute in prayer. What does it mean to be resolute? Resolution. The song says, I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight, blah, 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 blah. Resolution. I'm resolved. I'm not going to be moved from it. Right? He says, be unmovable, steadfast. I'm not moving from it. I'm resolved. He says, be resolute in prayer. Make any sacrifice to maintain it. Don't matter what it is, make any sacrifice to remain resolute in prayer. Okay? Consider that time is short and that business and company must not be allowed to rob thee of thy God. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Don't let anything stand in the way of you talking to your God. You have to have that time. If you don't listen, guys, in the wicked, hellish, nonsense world we live in, it ain't like it was back when Ma and Pa Ingalls was around, okay? Times are different, and you ain't going to make it. Your Christian life depends upon some major things happening. And one of those major things is this book, and number two is you praying to your God and talking to your God, communicating with your God. If you don't have that time, you won't make it. You won't make it. You will not make it. You won't survive as a Christian. You'll wind up just like most of the other Christians that you guys have heard about. All but don't know what happened, but hey, you know, they got out. I don't know where they're at. You know, hadn't seen them. I don't know if I've told you guys this or not. I had a good friend that I knew in Bible school, and everything's going great for him. Hey, man, just praise the Lord. Shouting the walls down, hallelujah, preaching on the street, passing out gospel tracts, witnessing to people, leading people to Christ, coming in to work, saying, hey, I was talking to so-and-so, led him to Christ, everything going good, wonderful, blah, blah, blah. And like 2 weeks later, him and his wife are split up. I said, what in the world happened? So I happened to see him. I said, what happened to you? What happened? And you know what he said? He said, I stopped praying, brother. He said, I just got to the place where I thought that, well, hey, you know, I need to do this more. And he said, after I stopped praying, pretty soon I wasn't reading my Bible no more. And then pretty soon I wasn't talking to nobody about the Lord anymore. And you could see it happening to him. I mean, his joy was leaving. Now, thank God he got back. Thank God he got back. And he's pastoring a church now, doing a great work, having people saved. I mean, God's blessing the ministry. Everything's going great. But you know what happened to him? He just decided, like Judson warned about, he let something get in the way and take the place of his time spending with his father. And it messed him up. Let's see. D.L. Moody. Everybody knows D.L. Moody, right? D.L. Moody said, every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. God is not going to move greatly if you don't ask Him. What did James say? What did James say? He said, that's right. You have not because you ask not. What does it mean to pray? Pray is just ask. Just asking. We're not talking about the supplications. We're talking about just prayers. Just general prayers. Just asking God for something. Just asking Him for something. There's more in here that I can read you. But for time's sake, we'll move on. It's just asking God. 1 Timothy 2:8. You're already in chapter 2. Look at verse number 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Everywhere. Lifting up holy hands. And here's how you do it. Without wrath and doubting. If you get on your knees before God, then believe He's going to do something for you. Just get out there and say, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. But I'm coming to you anyway, and here I am, and take care of it. Here we are, Lord. Now let's just talk a little while and spend time with Him. It's a petition. Petition. Throughout, now I happen to look this up. Throughout the book of Genesis, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 12. And we got to move quick here. Genesis chapter 12. Throughout the book of Genesis, you'll find the word pray. In just in the book of Genesis, you'll find the word pray. Let's see, 43 times. I had to make sure my math was right. 43 times, just in the book of Genesis. You'll find the word pray show up 43 times. That's where it happens first in the Bible, is Genesis chapter 12, which we're getting ready to read. And let's see, with the exception of three times out of those 43 times, the phrase is, I pray thee, I pray thee, I pray thee, I pray thee. And two of those three times is, we pray thee. Two of them is, we pray thee. So there's only one other time when it doesn't say, we pray thee or I pray thee. And it's in Genesis chapter 20, verse 7, whenever the Lord he tells this king that Abraham is going to pray for him. He says, he shall pray for thee. 42 times, just asking, I pray thee, I pray thee. Hey, Brian, I pray thee, would you go do this for me? Hey, brother, I pray thee. Would you? It's just old English is what it is, okay? I pray thee, Genesis 12, the first time it shows up, Genesis 12, verse number 13. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. We won't get into the context of what's going on there because we don't have time, but it's just asking. It's just asking. Just a general petition. You're just asking God for something. It may not be something huge. It may not be something that you have to have right now. There's a difference. There's a difference in being in an earnest because you have to have something right now. And then praying for something and saying, God, can you work in my heart and just help me to grow? Can you help me to understand your scriptures? Can you help me to be a blessing to my pastor? Can you help me to be faithful to my church? Can you help me to do these things, Father? Can you help me? And God, can you give me courage to be able to witness to people? Those are just prayers. That's just asking God for something. Back in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we got to move here because you've got to get this. We may not be able to cover the last one, but we're going to get this one. Intercessions, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions. Intercessions. Anybody want to guess? Just take a broad guess at the first time the word intercession shows up throughout Scripture. Anybody ever studied that? Anybody want to take a guess of it? Okay. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's a good one. That's a good one, by the way. That's not the first time it shows up, but that's a great guess. Anybody else? Turn to Isaiah. 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 This entire book points to the Lord Jesus Christ. I swear, every time I open it up, the whole book points to Jesus Christ. I mean, the whole thing. It points to Christ. Every time you turn around. And I was going through here studying for this thing, and I ran across this, and I thought, glory, hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 53. Everybody know what Isaiah chapter 53 is? Prophecy concerning the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 10. Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Now chew on that for a while. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He's satisfied because Jesus is travailing. He's in trouble. He says, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first time the word intercession shows up in a King James Bible, right there. And guess who it's talking about? Who did the greatest intercessory work in the history of the universe? The Lord Jesus Christ. How about that? How about that? The last time the word intercession shows up, anybody want to guess who it's talking about? Turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7. This book is laid out in a way where if you approach it with an honest and a humble heart, God will open your eyes. if you approach it with a self-righteous heart, God will destroy you. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 24. Hebrews 7, 24. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make what? Intercession for them. The first time the word intercession shows up, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a few that are in between it, and the last one that shows up, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because he said in Revelation, I am the first and I am the last. I am the beginning, I am the ending, I am Alpha, I am Omega. It starts with him and it ends with him. The intercessory work of Jesus Christ is the impeccable benchmark for the word of intercession. Okay? Oh my goodness. We don't have time. Yeah, we really don't have time. Moses was a great intercessor for the children of Israel. I mean, you know, we could have got into that a little bit more. Every single time after they come out of the Egypt's bondage, you know, they come out and they wind up, you know, they go through the Red Sea and then they wind up in the wilderness, right? Well, I mean, what's the first thing to do when they get in there to the wilderness? People, keep in mind, after a enormous body of water has just split apart, okay, and it's dry, and they're all walking around going, man, this is cool, you know, looking at that. The Bible says that the waters were in heap. I mean, they were heaped up, okay, and the wind's blowing through there, man, they're all, wow, whew, man, what is going on here? Wow. And they watch every one of them, they all, millions, man, they all just come on through there. And they get out, and that water, boom, I mean, it closes on them, you know, and kills all of Pharaoh and his people. And the first thing they do, they get into the next chapter, right? They get into the wilderness, and they're like, this water's bitter. We don't like it. We don't like it. We want some sweet water. So what does Moses do? Just like any good pastor, what does he do? Lord, what do I do? Lord, forgive them, please. I mean, Lord, they really don't know what they're doing. Does that sound like anybody else that prayed that prayer? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's intercession right there. It starts with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it ends with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last one that we didn't get into was giving of thanks. I mean, folks, that's pretty much a no-brainer. Giving of thanks. Giving of thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want to know what the will of God is for your life? Give him thanks. Tell him thank you. What if you're offering up a supplication because you're getting ready to die? Give him thanks. That's hard. You ever been in a place where you thought, I can't give you thanks, Lord? Try it anyway. And see if he doesn't show up. If he doesn't show up, I'll get out of the ministry today. He'll show up. If you with an honest heart come to him and say, I just can't give you thanks, Lord. I just don't know what to pray. Like he said in Romans 8, the Spirit itself maketh intercession with us, for us, with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. That's something else with that intercession thing. It has to do with praying for somebody that can't pray for themselves. They're in a spot where they can't pray. So you've got to pray for them. Amen. All right. Any comments? Questions? Smart aleck remarks? Nobody? All right. Father, thank you for allowing us to get in your book here. We love you and pray you'd bless the service in Jesus' name. Amen.